From Upstate Medical University in Syracuse, New York, I'm Amber Smith. This is HealthLink on Air. How do you go about finding a mental health provider or therapist? Let's ask Dr. Thomas Schwartz. He's a professor and the interim chair of psychiatry and the senior associate dean of education for SUNY Upstate. Thanks for being here, Dr. Schwartz.
Thanks for having me.
So what's it like to try to find a therapist or a psychiatrist in the Syracuse metro area?
I think it's likely very difficult for people nationwide, not just in Syracuse. I do think there's a shortage of mental health providers, and that would be psychiatrists, psychologists, clinical social workers. I think there are more people either developing psychiatric problems or being diagnosed with them. And there's just not enough providers. So I think it is very difficult.
Just a shortage across the board everywhere. Yeah. So would it be even harder in rural areas because there's fewer people to begin with? And
yeah, I think we noticed that as well. And certainly the major metro areas will have more services. We also have more people. But yes, I suspect the more rural you are, the harder it would be to find, let's say, a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Yeah.
So is it an easy answer to say why there's such a shortage?
I think there's multiple factors. I think as far as psychiatry, I'm a psychiatrist. I know this data a little bit more. There certainly seem to be more and more junior psychiatrists, new psychiatrists coming into the field. It seems to be a more preferred area of medicine to study. But despite that, I think we have a very aging group of psychiatrists who are retiring. And so there are more people retiring than coming into the field. So I do think there is a shortage there for that reason. We have psychiatric nurse practitioners that I didn't mention before. There are more and more schools and programs, and we have one here at Upstate. And for example, the psychiatric workforce is being very well augmented with some good psychiatric nurse practitioners. But again, it's a rate that we would want to speed up, or we're still going to have a shortage.
Well, and we'll get into more about the differences of the different professionals, but tell me about, are they solo providers? Are they part of groups? What's the landscape like professionally for mental health providers?
I think it's a little bit of everything. We still have the traditional solo practice provider that has their own office. They're the only person in the office, though I do think that is getting more rare with time. It is really hard to run a business with one person. We do have some full-service clinics, Syracuse Behavioral Health. I believe their name changed to Helios, the Brownell Center, St. Joseph's Hospital. There are some very big clinics with a lot of clinicians. And so you go the gamut from the solo provider to the full-service, very large clinic.
So a person who has health insurance, will their health insurer find a therapist for them? If I called my health insurance and said, I'm looking for a therapist, will they find me somebody?
I think going through the insurance is a good idea, but to answer your question, I don't think they will personally reach out and find you an appointment. My experience is most of them will have a web-based list of providers that they will cover, and it really is up to the patient or the family of the patient, if they can't do it themselves, to frankly start calling. So with this type of shortage, it's not uncommon to stop at the start of a list, the top of a list of 10, 12 doctors, and have to call until you find an opening.
Wow. And then that's assuming I have insurance. If I don't have insurance, I'm probably even going to have a lot harder time, right?
Yeah, I think in the absence of insurance, there's not really a list that you can find. It would make sense to start calling some of those larger clinics. And the clinics generally are set up, I think, to help people find insurance, whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, sometimes the exchange or the private insurances. I do think some of the larger service clinics would try to help you with that. Outside of that, you might have to shop around to find a clinician that's willing to accept a cash payment. Sometimes we'll call that a sliding scale. It could be $10, could be $100, and they're harder to find, but there are some people that would work with you that way.
Would a primary care provider be able, would they have like an in with a group maybe, or help, would you advise someone to go to their primary care provider for a referral maybe?
Yeah, I actually think primary care is a great place to start. More and more our pediatricians, family practice doctors, internal medicine doctors are receiving more and more training in how to detect and manage, let's say, depression and anxiety. And I think primary care is the number one place that antidepressants are prescribed in the U.S. It's not from psychiatrist's office. So by volume, I do think my primary care colleagues are doing a lot of work. So starting there actually could be an answer. You may not need therapy. You may be able to be helped with a single medication. Outside of that, you're right. I would hope that the primary care doctors and clinicians, you know, may have an in with certain psychiatrists or practices. But to be candid, many of these services are very, very full. So I wouldn't rely on the idea that the primary care doctor can get you in faster, though he or she could start your treatment while you're waiting.
Okay. Good point. Well, let's talk about the difference between the variety of therapies or therapists that are out there, the social workers, psychiatrists. Mm-hmm. You mentioned nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
So I think you have plenty of options. Like if you are looking at your insurance list, they'll list all these different providers that are out there. And a fair amount of them can provide psychotherapy, which is talk therapy or counseling, psychotherapy. There's lots of words we use. But a well-trained person can help you through your stressful events, through your depression, through your anxiety. And you have some choices. I think you could even start with a clergy member, a pastor, a priest. Mm. It's one of those untapped resources. So if you're already going to church or mass and you know one of your providers there, clergy members, a lot of them do have training in counseling, and maybe that's an easy place to start. Some primary care offices will have a built-in therapist or your general doctor might know you the best. So I do think you can get informal counseling and therapy that way.
Well, schools also have counselors, right?
Absolutely. School counselors. If you're a college student, most colleges will have student counseling programs. So I think those are great ideas. So these are untapped areas that a lot of people don't think about. From an office-based professional point of view, social workers, many of them can go to school and get training to become psychotherapists, and they're very good at what they do. The psychologists, the PhDs, will go through more training, and they're very good at psychotherapy as well. I find that the psychologists have more specified training in things like cognitive behavioral therapy, psychodynamic psychotherapy. They get a little bit more refined in their approach. And some of those techniques are better for certain psychiatric problems than others. And then psychiatrists, we prescribe medications. We're also trained in psychotherapy. Nurse practitioners, similarly. So you have lots of choices. And I think if you wanted more of a medication approach, you're going to want to find a psychiatrist or a nurse practitioner. If you really don't like medicines and you really want to focus on psychotherapy, probably a clinical social worker or psychologist would make sense.
Now, what about for children or adolescents? Do all of those professions cover children and adolescents, or is that?
Yeah, I think the same would go for really any age group at this point. The same kind of provider can provide the same kind of services regardless of age, though some people specialize. I'm an adult psychiatrist. I don't treat many kids. My colleagues who are child psychiatrists and child psychologists will only treat kids. So you would want to aim for somebody that's specific for your age group.
So it seems like with this shortage, if you're in crisis, you're going to need help from whoever you can find it from. But in the best situation, you'd want to choose someone that you get along with, right? Mm-hmm. Personalities matter somewhat, yeah. Right, in therapy. So how does that factor in?
So again, to be pessimistic with the shortage we're talking about, you may not have a lot of choices. Some people would prefer a male therapist, female therapist, younger, older. But sometimes you really have to start somewhere where there's an opening. And I think that's okay. I do think it's important to find a good fit. My training in psychotherapy would suggest it may not matter if you're male, female, old or young. It's kind of what goes on in the therapy session that matters the most. And I think a good therapist, regardless of their background, their gender, their race, their age, should be able to put themselves in your shoes. So I think a good fit's important, but I do think a good therapist can adapt and meet the patient where they're at. So I recommend finding somebody and see how it goes. Therapy to me and counseling probably should be at least a few months, if not 6 months. Sometimes you get off on the wrong foot, like we do in any relationship, and then you figure that out as you go, which is part of therapy. You make amends, you move on, you figure each other's patterns out, and that's really, to me, the best kind of therapy. You kind of grow with your therapist. So a match is good, but it is also not the end of the world.
Well, and it seems like if you're in crisis, say you're potentially depressed or suicidal, you're at a low point, and this is not going to be an easy thing to find a therapist. So what advice do you have for getting started?
So I think one thing you mentioned is suicide. We unfortunately have an epidemic. Those numbers are going up. More and more people are considering suicide, attempting suicide, completing suicide. And I think if you're at that point, you probably need to go to your nearest emergency room. In theory, there's somebody there to help you. There's always a doctor there. They might be an emergency medicine doctor. They're trained to help people out. Many emergency rooms have consultation services where they would call people like me to come down as well. So I think if you're in that kind of crisis and your life is on the line, getting to an emergency room, calling 911 makes sense. There are 800 number suicide hotlines that are very helpful as well. So I do think that kind of crisis requires you to seek help. If you're somewhat considering it, hurting yourself, but you don't have a plan, again, I think talking to your primary care doctor, a clergy member, again, while you're trying to search through your insurance list to find somebody, it makes a lot of sense. Just getting that off your chest and the weight lifted off your shoulders about how you're feeling sometimes is a good preventative thing. So just talking even to family members, perhaps. But I do think if you reach the level where you may not be safe, I think a 911 call, get an ambulance to the hospital, get a family member to the hospital, let us at least start the evaluation process. Makes a lot of sense.
Can that process lead to finding a therapist for the person? I mean, would the emergency department be able to help you find someone in the community?
So I think so. Again, there are no guarantees. There is a shortage. Just going to the emergency room does not guarantee you'll have a therapist or a psychiatrist next week. That somewhat is a rumor mill. Does it speed the process up? I would say sometimes. Some of your bigger hospitals will have a larger outpatient clinic. So St. Joseph's, for example, has a very good mental health center that's large and can accept more people, but they can be relatively full. Here at University Hospital, we have a very busy emergency room. We see many patients like this, but our outpatient clinic is very, very small. And we have less openings. So it's really unique to whatever system you enter into. We always try to link people up, but oftentimes you will also leave with a list. So if we can shore somebody up, get them to do better through an intervention where we think they can manage navigating through a list, calling a few people to get set up, we'll let them do that.
Well, if it seems like the demand for mental health professionals is so high and we've got this shortage, would this not be a great field to get into if you want to help people?
So I think so. I certainly like what I do, and the field has really been in a shortage since I've been in the business since 2000. But as I said, it's getting more short. So I think it's a great opportunity for employment, for growth in the profession. It's hard work, but we do enjoy it. So I do think if you're a budding social worker, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, physician, and you really have an inkling towards this work, I think it's a great field. We can still talk to our patients. We're not really constrained often by a 5 or 8 minute visit. We might have 15 minutes to an hour, hour and a half sometimes. So what I like about it is we actually get to talk to people a whole ton, and the rest of medicine seems to be speeding up, more patients per hour. Yeah. So it's an enjoyable field, and you really do get to know your patients.
Do you go home feeling like you've made a difference in someone's life or seeing progress in a patient?
So I think so. Some patients takes weeks to months to years to see the kind of improvements we'd like to see. Other people you help right away. It's really a bell-shaped curve of how people respond. But I think it's rewarding on the short-term, middle-term, and long-term level. But you have to be in the field long enough to see all that happen.
Sure. So kind of to summarize, what is your advice for someone who can't easily find a therapist? What should they do?
I think the first thing I would do is take your health insurance card. Usually on the back is an 800 number. I would call that number and ask for a list of possible providers. This is web-based. You might even be able to Google that on your own. and you start making phone calls. And if you truly don't find anybody on that list, you go through 10, 12 phone calls, I would call your insurance company back, go through their phone tree, talk to a real person, and suggest you've used all their resources. They may then try to reach out. They may specifically call some of those offices to try to create an opening. But sometimes you can pressure your insurance company to help you out. And that would be a trick. The other one would be to go to your family doctor, ask if they have connections. You certainly could try the emergency room or the central emergency room called CPEP. It's a psychiatric emergency room in town. You could make some phone calls and ask for advice. But I would use the list, and I would try to pressure your insurance company to help.
Well, thank you so much. This has been an interesting topic, and I appreciate your insight. My guest has been Dr. Thomas Schwartz. He's professor and interim chair of psychiatry at Upstate. I'm Amber Smith for Upstate's podcast and talk show, HealthLink on Air.